HSBC says it's letting go of its American retail banking operations. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. The London-based bank has announced it'll scale back the number of U.S. branches it operates and wind down its small business accounts and personal banking customers with balances below $75,000. HSBC said instead it will shift its focus to the needs of globally connected, affluent, and high-net-worth clients. The BBC's Andrew Wood in Hong Kong explains what comes next, then, for the banking giant.
It's going to look a lot smaller. HSBC has a lot of competition from domestic banks in the United States. It's had similar problems in Europe as well, where the domestic competitors, the incumbents and so on, are just basically too good for HSBC. So HSBC will continue doing the big stuff, the investment banking stuff. It will also continue to look after the needs of the very wealthy and the affluent as well through its private banking. It will have operations. It's retaining some of the operations, converting some of the branches over to dealing with the internationally wealthy and so on for when they're in the United States.
The company is also looking to sell its French retail bank, and this is all part of a restructuring to focus more on Asia. Why is it pivoting focus there?
HSBC, it stands for the Hong Kong and Shanghai Banking Corporation, and it was founded in Victoria Times in Hong Kong. About 30 years ago, it bought a British bank, Midland Bank, and so basically shifted itself, its headquarters, to Europe and became a British bank. It's still Europe's biggest bank, but that's largely because of its operations that are still here back in Asia. And I think about a third or a half of its profit comes from Hong Kong alone. And it's in a great position. It's making more and more money from the mainland of China as well. So it's basically pivoting back to Asia. This is where it was started. This is where it's perhaps got the most expertise and the most competitive advantage too. I mean, HSBC has tried to be global. For a while, it called itself the world's local bank, but it just hasn't really succeeded. So you've got, Hong Kong is a great place to make money. The mainland of China is next door. You've got 1.3 billion people there. It makes a lot more sense to focus on areas where you're good.
The BBC's Andrew Wood for us in Hong Kong. Thanks so much for your time.
And thank you.
Well, HSBC shares are down marginally in the U.S. ahead of the opening bell. Checking some other numbers, benchmarks are little changed across Europe and Asia today. In a statement, China said its first trade talks with the new U.S. administration were candid, pragmatic, and constructive. It's a signal that perhaps the world's two biggest economies are reestablishing communications despite ongoing trade disputes. For the first time anywhere in the world, Uber is recognizing a union. The ride-sharing company's 70,000 British drivers will in the future have the opportunity to be represented by the GMB trade union. The BBC's Ramzan Kamali has that story.
Gig economy businesses such as Uber have long fought against their workers being represented by unions. Uber had argued that the move wouldn't be compatible with the flexible working patterns of its ride-hailing drivers and fluctuating demand from customers. But earlier this year, a Supreme Court ruled its drivers should be classified as employees and therefore be entitled to a minimum wage and other benefits. The GMB union had been one of Uber's harshest critics, but it hailed this agreement as groundbreaking and said that it hoped it would lead to further deals with other gig economy companies.
Ramzan Kamali reporting there. To Iran now, where the government has instituted a four-month ban on cryptocurrency mining. It comes a week after businesses and households in the capital, Tehran, and other cities suffered from unplanned power blackouts. The BBC's Kian Shafari explains why the government is linking crypto mining to power supply issues.
Rolling blackouts in Iran are not strange. They're not unusual. Iran's been suffering from rolling blackouts for years, for as far back as I can remember. But they are usually planned, and they don't last for more than an hour or two. The thing with this year is that they are happening more often. They are usually unplanned, and they last for hours. So the government now thinks it's time to crack down on cryptocurrency. The official stats that the government has put out is that there are 50 mining centers in Iran, and they account for 209 megawatts of power, which pales in comparison to the overall amount of power that cryptocurrency mining uses in Iran, which is 2 gigawatts. The power company, right after President Rouhani banned cryptocurrency for 4 months, put out a statement asking people to report illegal crypto mining activity. Now, whether or not they're going to do that is a different story.
So more than 4% of the world's Bitcoin mining happens in Iran. Are sanctions on the government perhaps one reason why it's become so popular there?
It is, in fact, the main reason. I think it was in January 2020 when the president suggested using cryptocurrency to circumvent U.S. sanctions. Crypto is untraceable. So in theory, that works. But there are some economy experts in Iran who say that most people use crypto just to get their money out of Iran because the value of the Iranian currency just keeps going down. And people want to be able to save their money in stronger currencies like the US dollar. And it's easier to convert crypto to USD than it is to convert real to USD because the money just keeps losing its value.
Fascinating stuff. The BBC's Kian Sharifi for us. Thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you for having me.
Well, speaking of cryptocurrency, an ad encouraging people to buy Bitcoin has featured prominently in London underground train stations and on the sides of double-decker buses here, but it's now banned. The posters featured an illustration of the virtual coin and read, "If you're seeing Bitcoin on the underground, it's time to buy." The Advertising Standards Authority said it was irresponsible and misleading and left out appropriate risk warnings. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.